Hello, this is Maria Ripo, and I want to welcome all of you to my Love Your Body Now call today, June 28th, 2013. And I just want to take a moment to really bow to the courage each of you has to be on this call, because what it tells me is that you may have suffered enough about your body and are ready to move beyond the prison that many of us have created around our body image. For me, what's true is that we always teach what we most want to learn. And this topic is dear to me because I struggled for a really long time, badgering my body, living in a vicious cycle of dieting or over-exercising or both, and really just killing myself to be thin, and then binging and waking up hating myself, being really mean to my body, holding a lot of shame around not being good enough to be a bikini model, you know, not being what the media told me was enough. And that's what my paradigm was. If I wasn't perfect, I wasn't enough. And what I learned from all of this was that underneath all the body shame was really an underlying belief that I had about myself that I wasn't enough. And guess what? No matter how thin I got, and I got really thin, I still didn't feel like I was enough, because being enough isn't about how we look on the outside. It wasn't until I found and began healing this underlying belief that I really was able to start loving my body with all of its imperfections. And trust me, I'm 44 and I have birthed 4 children out of my body and I haven't had any work done to date. And so I do have imperfections by the world's standards. And I was really obsessed with, thinking that I could get to a point where I didn't have any imperfections. And I was obsessed by my desire to look like the supermodels in, you know, Hollywood. And really, when I looked in the mirror, I said mean things to my body all the time. This wasn't happening consciously. It was what I was saying in my mind when I would walk by the mirror before I get in the shower. And I didn't even realize how mean I was being to my body. You know, I would think things like, oh my God, my butt is so ugly, or look at those stretch marks, or, you know, my boobs are floppy. And I just had disgust going on for my body. So imagine if our bodies were a small child. Would that child be able to thrive if they were treated the way that we treat our bodies, if they were told the things that we tell our body? And I know that my kids wouldn't thrive if I talked to them the way that I was subconsciously talking to my body, and I'm sure still do in ways that I'm not even aware of. But all I could see were the imperfections. And often I didn't want to get into a bathing suit in front of other people, or, you know, I feared going to parties because I didn't trust myself around food. And I really created a prison for myself, and it all started with the underlying beliefs that I didn't even know I had. And I didn't want to move forward in life until I was perfect, because I thought no one would listen to me, that they'd all think I was just a big fraud. And so my life was really on hold until I got to a place that I perceived was perfect. You know, we all say things like, I'll date when I lose weight, or I'll look for a job or get a better job when I lose weight, or I'll finally be happy when I lose weight. And what's really under that belief is that we don't matter, or we aren't enough who we are right now, that, you know, just who we are right now in this moment isn't okay. And I know for me, somewhere in my life, I decided that who I was not okay. It wasn't enough. And I was completely unaware of this belief that I had that was really running so many programs and, causing certain choices in my life. So what happens when we have these negative beliefs that we're unaware of is that they create wiring in our brain that leads to certain behaviors that basically prove to us that what we believe is true. If I believe my body is unacceptable, that's going to lead to me making choices that are in line with that belief. And those choices create wiring pathways in the brain that automatically bring me to the choices that prove what my underlying beliefs are. And these negative beliefs also affect our emotions. Positive beliefs do too. And those emotions affect our hormones. So inside of our body, we're actually constantly creating this like chemical cocktail. And the chemicals are the hormones. So when we're unhappy in our relationships or with our jobs or feeling hopeless and despairing, we're actually creating a chemical cocktail that tells our body to begin the degeneration process, to go towards death, and we end up having pain and disease and illness and exhaustion and all kinds of things that we don't want to be having in our life. So when we're hopeless and discouraged and despairing, we're telling our body, we're telling ourselves that there's no reason to live. And I was doing this, and I was experiencing extreme fatigue. It took me forever to figure out why I was tired all the time, because I was eating healthy. But I didn't realize that the reason I was tired was because of that literally 95% of the time my self-talk was negative, the thoughts going on in my body. So there's no way my body's going to be thriving when I'm thinking negatively all the time. So I was actually creating stress in my body, and then this stress increases the amount of a hormone called cortisol. And maybe you've heard of cortisol. It's basically like taking a weight-gaining drug. So if we're stressed out and if we're living in this a place where we're really unhappy with our life, that's okay. It's not good or bad or right or wrong. But it's creating cortisol in our body, and cortisol causes us to hold on to weight. Our bodies are created for survival, and cortisol is the fight-or-flight hormone. So when it's elevated, our body is basically in a state of fight-or-flight. And when we're in a state of fight-or-flight, our body believes we're being chased by a lion or we're in some sort of danger and we need to run. So what happens is that all of our blood goes to our lower brain where our instincts are strong. So the ability to really think about anything beyond surviving is greatly diminished. And the blood moves away from our digestive system, and the digestive process comes to a total halt. And our body stores fat in case food isn't available for a while. So high cortisol levels are also known to cause cravings, to slow the metabolism, and to cause elevated blood sugar levels. And I want to just put this in really quick, because a lot of people don't know this, is that when we eat right before bed, a lot of us struggle with night eating. And when we eat right before bed, this raises our cortisol level. It's very stressful. It's very, digestion is the process in our body that takes more energy than anything else. And so when we go to sleep, if our stomach is full of food, our body has to spend all its energy digesting. And so our body isn't spending the energy repairing psychologically and physically in our body, creating regeneration. Instead, it's digesting, and this actually raises the cortisol level in our body. So if you want to lower your cortisol, one way to do that is to stop eating about 3 hours before bed, where you go to bed with a little bit of hunger, but not starving where you can't fall asleep, but a little bit of hunger. And the interesting thing is the hunger will just go away, and you may not even wake up hungry. I know that when I eat at night, I actually wake up more hungry oftentimes. It's a strange phenomenon, and I haven't figured out what that's about. But anyway, when we're trying to release weight, the first step is that we take a look at our beliefs, because our beliefs affect our emotions. Our emotions affect our hormones, and our hormones are what send the messages to our body to either hold on to weight or to release weight. And just a side note, the number one dysregulator of our hormones is refined sugar and processed foods. So it's a good idea to get those out of our diets. But, and this is a big but, what happens when we feel powerless to do this? Well, this is where the work that I do comes into play. So 95% of people who go on diets gain the weight back, plus 10% more 2 years after having been on a diet. So what we've found is that diets don't work. In fact, diets cause weight gain. I'm going to say that again. Diets, in the end, cause weight gain. And what I've seen over the years, I've taught healthy lifestyle classes, just teaching people how to eat properly. And I was so excited at first. I thought, oh, I'm going to educate people and it's going to change their lives. And what I found is that only about 10% of my clients or the people that take my classes, maybe 10%, and that's a high guesstimate, can actually follow the protocols I give them without doing any outside extra work with me around underlying beliefs. So I'm now in this place where you probably notice that I'm teaching more about our beliefs and our thoughts, and the reason is that I have seen it over and over again. My clients and people in my classes were basically feeling like total failures because they couldn't follow what I was teaching them to do. And this actually causes them to binge. So you can see then that causes shame and it's just this vicious cycle. I myself have actually never been able to follow a diet in my life when my goal is weight loss. So the only way I've ever been able to stick to a healthy eating plan is maybe if my health was at risk. In the past, it was, you know, I had this like extreme fatigue, so I had a really big motivation to eat well. But if my health was my goal, then I could stick to it. But the minute I tried to lose weight, every single time I would gain at least 5 pounds. So I have never been able to stick to a diet for weight loss. So if that's you also, you are right there with 95% of the people. I would say probably closer to 98% of the people. And the thing that happens that I see is that we end up thinking we're the only ones, like something's wrong with us because we can't stick to a diet. But now the evidence is out there. UCLA very recently came out with a study that 95% of people who go on diets actually gain weight. Oftentimes they lose it first, unlike me who gains it. But so I bet you're asking this question right now, if dieting doesn't work, what does? And if you've been on my Facebook page, that's my new slogan, dieting doesn't work. So follow me and find out what does. I'm going to help you learn what actually works, because just because diets don't work doesn't mean that there's no hope for losing weight, because there is. There's a ton. I've seen it happen over and over again. I work with addicts who have been through AA, OA, every A, and I watch them transform their lives when they do work around their underlying beliefs that they don't even know they have. So for me, what transformed my relationship with food is to figure out what my underlying beliefs that were causing me to be obsessed with food. And what I found, there were so many, but for me, food was a way that I was able to feel some sort of control in my life, because my life felt really out of control. Food was my comfort, and we had been through a lot of financial turmoil, so food was really my only form of entertainment, relaxation, escape, mini vacation, way to kind of get away from it all. It was like a pacifier for me, and I was like this little baby that just had all this emotion going crazy inside me from the time I was a kid, and I had no idea what to do with it, and as I got older, it just got worse and worse. So for me, the healing process involved healing my emotions around how I was experiencing life, how I was actually digesting life. And then the need to rely on food to make me feel better was no longer there. It went away. I didn't ever have to use willpower to find balance. The more of this work that I did, the more I just wanted to take care of myself and my body. So I talked earlier about stress, and I know that often when I say we need to reduce our stress, that in itself usually causes my listeners more stress. You know, you might be sitting there just going, how the heck do you expect me to do that? I mean, I've got kids, I work, you know, I've maybe you're a single parent. You know, we all have stuff going on in our lives. And so I know that when I say we need to reduce stress, most of the time the response to that is, you know, stress. That is stressful to think that I got to reduce my stress because how the heck, I can't quit my job and, you know, all of that. Or if you only knew my situation, you know, that kind of thing. So what I like to do is show people simple ways to reduce their stress significantly without making any kind of big changes in their life or taking a ton of time out of their day or anything like that. So I'm never going to tell you that you need to start measuring your food and counting your calories or stepping on your scale. In fact, I would say stop stepping on your scale. I'm never going to tell you, you know, that you need to get to the gym for an hour and a half every day. None of that is necessary. It's sort of a, that is more of something that will just naturally happen as you start looking at yourself differently. So one way that we can reduce stress that I have found to be incredibly effective is using EFT or tapping. EFT stands for Emotional Freedom Technique. Basically, our actions and behaviors, the choices that we make in life, our day-to-day, moment-by-moment choices, stem from our beliefs and our mindset. It's not the other way around. So changing our behavior is not going to result in changing our minds. So we don't want to start with changing our behavior, which is what a diet is. We first need to change our beliefs, and then our behavior will follow. So to achieve a naturally thin body that you desire, where we need to start is changing how we treat ourselves. It's imperative, it's necessary to release the emotional weight that we carry that's weighing us down, bogging us down, all of our heavy burdens, the negative emotions, the underlying negative beliefs, traumatic memories, the shame, the guilt. The list goes on of all this stuff that's stopping us from achieving what we think we want, and we do want, but it only brings us to what we're not looking for. So the work is learning to become the person that we truly know that we are. Most of us live our lives to be what we perceive that everybody else wants us to be so that we can feel acceptable and approved and validated and all of that. So what's important is that we begin to listen to our own truth and start living it. We find our passion. We begin being a friend to ourselves right now and not later when we're thinner or richer or happier. Your self needs you right now. You're worth it. And somewhere deep inside of you, I think all of us know that we are worth it. Otherwise, you wouldn't be continuing to search for something that really works, something that really takes away the pain of all the things that you've been carrying around with you that weigh you down. So right about now, I imagine that it's possible for some of you or all of you, I know for me, that, you know, you can notice a certain amount of shame that might be arising in you, a feeling that this weight, oh my God, it's all my fault. I've been thinking wrong. Well, I just want to remind you first about the willpower that you actually have, because you have never stopped searching for the answers. And I, from personal experience, can say that most of us just didn't know where to find the right answers. I searched forever. I studied and lived natural health, and I still look back and think, how did I never find out about this emotional component? And I kept, you know, I would eat healthy, but I also had this whole binging side of me. And I don't know how I never came across this information, but I do know that we only find it in the exact right time that we're supposed to find it. So I just want to congratulate you for your perseverance, for not giving up on yourself. And I hope that you can also congratulate yourself right now. Just look how hard you've tried, and you just haven't found what works for you yet. But you've had a ton of practice learning what doesn't work. So today we're going to use a process called EFT, and it's been proven that our heart is like a central command center of the body and the brain, and the rest of the body operate from the messages that it receives from our heart. There was actually a recent study out of Harvard University that has proven that 87 to 98% of all disease is a result of our thoughts and our beliefs, what's in our heart. They're actually finding, too, that heart disease is actually a symptom of broken hearts. So what is going on in our heart, actually, our health results from what's going on in our heart. And with EFT, what we do is we find and acknowledge these underlying beliefs, and we change our experience about these beliefs. This isn't positive thinking. This isn't, for me, positive thinking is more kind of telling myself things that deep down I know are not true, and that never worked for me. I tried that a few times and was just like, oh my gosh, I'm lying to myself. I can't do this. So EFT is not positive thinking. It's actually about shifting how we perceive life. So our brains have been proven to have the ability to change and to rewire and to grow new pathways. Every memory we have has an emotion attached to it. And often we have toxic thoughts in our mind that don't serve us. They create behaviors that we're trying not to have. And these come from the beliefs that we take on about the memories that we have. We can actually learn to see our memories differently. And this will change the emotional charge that we have about our memories, which changes the beliefs that we have about ourselves because of our memories, which then changes our emotions, and then that changes our behavior. Are you guys with me? That was probably really confusing. But basically, here's the bottom line. Our behavior is a symptom. It's not a problem. So if we have extra weight, if we are overeating, that is a symptom. It's not a sign that you are somehow flawed. It's just a symptom of what's going on in your heart. And for many of us, those beliefs are around how our body looks. This is, or we have negative beliefs. I won't say that our negative beliefs are around how our body looks, but we often have negative beliefs around how our body looks, and we criticize our bodies because of those beliefs that we have. And at first, it can be really, really challenging to admit how we really feel about our body and to accept how we feel, because we've really been fed a message from the media that how our bodies look is not acceptable. So this isn't about a right emotion and a wrong emotion. It's not about going, oh, my emotions are wrong, and now I have to make them right. It's much more about noticing and observing what our emotions are, what our thoughts are, just noticing without judgment. And what EFT helps us do is it helps us say how we really feel and honor and accept ourselves anyway. And then it opens us up to the possibility of something else being true. So when we accept how we feel, we allow ourselves to honor the feeling. And when we stop fighting our negative emotions, the sadness, the anger, the despair, the hopelessness, we stop fighting what is in our life, and we accept the fact that we feel the way we feel, the fight, the struggle ends right there. And when that struggle ends, the emotion that we have around fighting it, the shame, hopelessness, sadness, anger, whatever it is, moves through us and leaves our body. And we're able to open up and feel something different. Emotion has been called energy in motion. So we want to keep the flow of energy in our body open and moving. And what happens when we have shame and guilt and sadness and anger, it gets stored in our body, and it makes that energy flow in our body just stop. It's stuck, and it creates pain. And when we say that we accept ourselves, that keeps the energy moving through us instead of getting stuffed down inside of us. It actually takes a lot of energy for us to hide from how we're really feeling, and most of us do it. If you reside inside of a human body, 100% you've done this in your life, or you have a habit of doing it unless you have taken time to learn how not to do it. So it's not something that's, again, right or wrong or good or bad. It just is how we are. So basically, where these negative beliefs come from is when we're kids, certain things happen to us. Maybe a kid, a bully at school makes fun of us, and we basically swallow what they say and believe that it's true, and we take on a belief. So we could have had trauma. We might have sexual abuse. We might have been abused. We might have been, neglected. We might have felt lonely, whatever. And in those times, we took on beliefs about ourselves, and we believed it as true, and then out of that belief, we learned certain behavior patterns that were in line with that belief. And actually, as a child, those are called coping mechanisms. And as a child, it kept us safe. It was the only way we knew really how to stay safe. And it wasn't even happening consciously. But those things that keep us safe as a child destroy us as an adult. And so we have to find what those beliefs are and the behaviors that we took on because of the beliefs and heal those. And it's not rocket science. It's not that hard. It's actually a really awesome experience. It's hard because we have to wipe the mirror clean and look at ourselves clearly in all the ways that we've been hiding from ourselves. So it does take a gigantic amount of courage to do this work. I don't think anything takes more courage as a human than wiping that mirror clean and looking at ourselves. But it makes a huge difference in our lives. So when we're hiding from these beliefs, it's like being in a swimming pool with three blow-up beach balls and thinking that those beach balls belong under the water. So we use all our focus and energy constantly trying to push these beach balls under the water. And you can only imagine how much energy that takes. It takes the same kind of energy to hide from our shame and our guilt and our sadness and our anger and pretend that we're, not a liar or a bitch or whatever it is that, maybe somebody called us way long ago. When we can just acknowledge that there is a part of us that is that and accept ourselves anyway, boy, everything changes. So this is really important. When it comes to weight loss, it's important to be able to look at your body and to actually criticize it out loud and to come to a place where we can say, I see how I really feel about you, body, and I'm open to learning to finding compassion and gratitude for you right where you are right now. When we stop fighting our body the way it is right now, huge changes in our behavior just happen. Maybe you're cringing right now because the idea of accepting something that you've fought against and hated for so long, that cellulite on your thighs or the way you look in a bathing suit or, whatever it is. We all have our stuff about our body that we would rather not have. It can be really hard to think of accepting those parts of ourselves. So, like I said before, it takes gigantic courage to look at ourselves truthfully like this. But I do think it's necessary, and I have seen that it's necessary if you want to move past where you are right now. So right now, what's important is to make a decision. Do I want to look at this stuff and move forward, or do I want to stay stuck where I am? And that's only a decision that you can make. So the truth is that we actually take care of what we love. If you have a child and you love them, you do your best to take care of them. Of course, we all don't do very well sometimes, too. I know I have four kids, and sometimes I just think, oh, gosh, look at me again. So through EFT, we can actually change how we feel about ourselves and come to a place where we feel that we deserve to be nurtured and taken care of. So again, this is not about positive thinking and saying things to ourselves that we really don't believe are true. I don't find that to be helpful at all. That never worked for me. Some people, maybe it works for, but for me, I had so much gunk stuffed down in me that I didn't know about that the positive thinking thing just actually it brought more shame, to be honest. It made me feel more ashamed because I kept acting the ways I was acting, and I couldn't understand what the heck was wrong with me. So it's really about finding out how we really do feel and finding compassion for ourselves anyway, connecting with the parts of ourselves that we feel ashamed of, and finding compassion and acceptance for those parts of ourselves. And then we see everything in new ways, with new eyes. When we feel that we are worth taking care of, we will naturally take good care of ourselves. And we will naturally surround ourselves with other people that take good care of us, rather than, you know, being in relationships that are really toxic or people are abusive and that sort of thing. We start realizing that that we've been living with that and accepting that, and it's not really in line with our truth and how we know deep down inside that we deserve to be treated. So today, we're going to find out the beliefs that we really have about our bodies through a tapping exercise. And if you haven't used EFT before, that's okay. EFT, your tapping. You can do one of two things. You can either tap along, and I'm going to teach you how to do that, or you can just repeat the words that I say and do the exercise without the tapping. The tapping, the way that I understand it, is it helps to wake up the energy flow in your body, and it actually helps that energy to move, and it helps us release the negative emotions. But if you're not comfortable tapping along and it just seems weird and just a little bit woo-woo or out there or something, you can skip that part and it'll still be really effective. You can even just sit and listen to what I say and see if it's right for you. So basically what you're going to do is take your index finger and your middle finger of your dominant hand, the one that you write with, and I'm going to take you through the points that we tap on. And each of the points represents a different energy meridian in the body. According to Chinese medicine, we have different meridians that our energy in our body runs along. And these are the same points used in acupuncture. So if you've ever gone to acupuncture, it's the same kind of idea. We're just tapping on the points rather than using needles. And this technique was actually discovered by a medical doctor who had a patient who was deathly afraid of water, like couldn't even take a bath or a shower. And this doctor had no way to help her. And one day he decided to just put pressure on these acupressure points. I believe he had taken some acupressure or acupuncture courses by a Chinese medicine doctor. And so he decided to try this on this patient. And basically, he started tapping on these acupuncture points on her body and asked her to tell him about her fears of water. And he helped her to accept herself about her fears. And basically, she came back and told him she wasn't afraid of water anymore. And this had gone on. She had been his patient for a long, long time. They had tried everything. And so then he tried it on a patient who had a fear of spiders, and it worked with him too. And it was a really complicated procedure at that point. He had all these different points that he would touch depending on what was going on in the body, and he charged a ton of money for people to take his trainings. And one man who paid, I think he paid around $100,000 for the training, his name was Gary Craig. And he's the founder of EFT, and basically he took what he learned and he simplified the process and started using it with just incredible results. So you can always look up more information online about EFT. There's a ton of information out there. EFT Universe is a great place to go. There's a lot of the scientific studies around that. And then Gary Craig has a site too. I like EFT Universe. There's tons of practitioners on there. Another man that I really love learning from is named Robert Smith, and he has something called Faster EFT, and you can find his website. He has a lot of videos, so if you want to do more EFT, you can always work with a coach like myself, but he has free videos online. So we're going to start tapping, so you're going to take your index finger and your middle finger of your dominant hand and just go through each point. We're going to start with the karate chop point. So that is right below your pinky, on the edge of your hand between your pinky and your wrist, where you would chop, you know, a cement block in half if you were going to do a karate chop. That's called the karate chop point. So just tap there. I actually usually tap there with all four fingers of my dominant hand. And this is where we start the process. We have some setup phrases that I'll be using. And then the next point is on the inner eye, which is just on the inside of your eyebrow. So on the same side of your face, you can do tap on either side of your face, but I think it's easier if you tap on the same side of your face as your dominant hand is. So just start tapping on the inside of your eyebrow, you know, right above your nose, just where your eyebrow starts. This is the inner eye. And then just go tap right outside your eye, that same eye, just on the outside of your eye between your hairline and the outside of your eye. And then we're going to tap under the eye. And if you don't tap exactly on the right spot, it's really not that big of a deal. You can look up Robert Smith or go to EFT Universe. You can go on my blog at mariarippo.com, and I have a craving exercise you can do using EFT, and you'll see all the points. And then your upper lip or under your nose. Sometimes I might say under your nose, upper lip. And then right above your chin, right under your lip, your bottom lip. And then you're going to go to your collarbone. Just find where your two collarbones meet. And on the edge of your collarbone, you're going to notice like a little L shape. And you're going to just tap right at the 90-degree angle. So it's basically right where your collarbone starts. And just tap there. And then you're going to go under your arm if you were wearing a bra or a bikini or something, just right where that bra line goes, so a couple inches under your armpit. And then the top of your head. I just kind of go around in a circle on the top of my head. So those are the points. I'm going to say the points as we go. And remember, if you don't do it perfectly, even if you're just tapping a little bit on a couple of them, that's fine. Just kind of one of the reasons that I think EFT works so well is it sort of distracts you so that what you're saying can sink in on a deeper level. So if it's too much to tap along and figure it out, just do your best. Okay. So right now, what I would invite you to do is just, if it feels comfortable for you, just close your eyes and imagine yourself naked in front of a mirror, your whole body. And just observe without judgment. I invite you to just listen to your thoughts, what you're saying as you look in the mirror. There is no right or wrong, just the important thing is to really be honest about what you really are saying. If we pretend we're not saying what we're really saying, this won't work. And that's what we mostly go through life doing. So we're going to start by tapping on that karate chop point. And just as you imagine looking at yourself in the mirror, even though I'm ashamed of my body and I can't stand the way it looks, I deeply and completely love and accept myself. And if it's hard for you to say, I deeply and completely love and accept myself, you could just say, I'm open to learning to accept myself anyway. Just choose the one that feels right for you. Even though I'm embarrassed about my body, just keep tapping on the karate chop point, and I refuse to accept it this way. I accept myself and my feelings about my body, or I'm open to learning to accept myself and my feelings about my body. It's okay if you don't accept. If you just know that that's not even possible right now, that's okay. Okay. Now we're going to go to the inner part of the eyebrow. Oh, you know what, sorry, stay on the karate chop point, even though I hate my body and I can't even imagine loving it, I choose to accept all of me. So you're just repeating after me. And this is being recorded, so you'll be able to go back and do it again. Okay, just tapping on the inner eyebrow. I can't stand my body. And the side of the eye, I refuse to accept myself as I am. And under the eye, I can't even imagine accepting this body. And under the nose, I am not lovable in my body. And under the lip, under the bottom lip on the chin, my body doesn't deserve to be accepted. And on the collarbone, I hate my body. And under the arm, I can't accept myself this way. And the top of the head, just repeating after me, out loud is good. I can never be okay with this body. And then we're just going to go back to the karate chop point. Even though I can never be okay with this body, I choose to be okay with not being okay about my body. Even though I hate my body, I choose to meet myself where I am, or I'm open to choosing to meet myself where I am and accept how I feel right now about it. Still tapping on the karate chop point, even though I have so much anger and shame stuck in my body, I choose to be open to releasing it. Okay, and then we're just going to do the inner eye, inner part of the eyebrow. I'm so angry at my body. Outside of the eye, I'm so ashamed about how my body looks. Under the eye, it's really hard to look at my body naked in the mirror. Under the nose, I have so much shame about how my body looks. And then the chin, I refuse to accept you, body. We'll get past this part in a minute. And your collarbone, I'm really angry at myself for letting my body go. And under the arm, I'm angry at this body. Top of the head, I really can't believe I'm doing this. And then the inner eye, it feels so awkward. Outer eye, but what if this is exactly what I need to do? Under the eye, I'm open to trying this. Under the nose, maybe it will work. On the chin, what do I have to lose anyway? I have tried everything else. And then the collarbone, I'm open to trying this. Under the arm, it's safe to try this exercise. Top of the head, maybe it will work. Inside of the eyebrow, it's safe to look at my body. Outside of the eye, it's safe to say how I really feel. Under the eye, it's safe to let this go. Okay. I just invite you to take a nice, deep breath. tuck in with your body to see what's going on. We're going to turn this around here in a minute. Okay, just back to tapping on the karate chop point. Even though I might always hate my body and never be okay with it, I choose to accept myself and all my conflicts. Karate chop, even though I feel ashamed because of how my body looks, I'm open to finding ways to respect my body and all the ways it serves me. Keeping on tapping on the karate chop point. Even though I wish I didn't look this way, I choose to be pleasantly surprised at how easy it is to be more compassionate. And accept my body now and act like a friend to my body. I choose to know I can begin making changes to this body today if it feels right. The inside of the eye, I can choose to be compassionate. Outside of the eye, I like knowing I can choose compassion. Under the eye, I can be a very compassionate person. Then under the nose, my body deserves my compassion. Look at all it does for me. On the chin, I'm open to being compassionate. And the collarbone, it's safe for me to be more compassionate towards my body. And under the arm, compassion is a gift I can choose to give myself. Top of the head, I choose to accept myself and to be more compassionate towards my body now. In the inside of the eye, I'm open to being more compassionate. Outside of the eye, I'm open to healing this shame. And under the eye, it's safe to love my body and all its imperfections just how it is right now. And then under the nose, all these imperfections, all these imperfections, all these imperfections on the chin, maybe they came here to teach me, or maybe they're here to teach me, or maybe they are potent teachers. Collarbone, I'm open to becoming curious. Under the arm, I'm open to seeing what's under this shame. And top of the head, it's safe to love my body. I'm open to learning to love my body. Okay, just take a nice deep breath. And just notice yourself looking at yourself in the mirror. And just notice if it feels different than it felt when you first started doing the exercise. And then I have a couple of exercises that you can also try. It would be good to try these this week if that works for you, just after you've done this exercise. But every day when you, you know, before you step in the shower or whenever you find yourself undressed in front of the mirror, I would just invite you to look in the mirror at your body every day and thank each part of your body for its service to you, for being the vessel that is carrying you through this life. And it's okay to say, even though I don't like how you look, I thank you for serving me by, you know, your legs, they walk, they work. your arms can hug people and make food and work, and, you know, your hands, your back, your abdomen for carrying your children, you know, whatever it is, your bottom for letting you sit on it all day while you work. And if it feels comfortable for you, another really powerful exercise that you can do is to draw a picture of yourself just bowing down in gratitude to your body for its service to you. And this can be a picture of stick people, or it can be a work of art. You know, whatever works for you, it still sends a very potent message to your subconscious mind. And then the other piece is to just simply notice when you want to eat. Are you hungry, or are you just wanting to eat? And the noticing, what's really important about the noticing is also noticing any judgments that you have around it. So if you're just wanting to eat, ask yourself, if I didn't have a choice to eat right now, what is it I really want? How do I feel when I think the thought, what I really want right now is, or what I really feel like I'm missing right now is, and just notice in your body where you feel it. Notice what it feels like. Is it a pulsating? Is it a pressure? You know, does it feel like it's expanding? Does it feel like it's compressing? Just kind of notice what that feeling feels like. And then honor that feeling and thank it for being there to tell you what you feel that you're missing. That feeling is your teacher. So I just want to thank you for being here today, and I would really love your thoughts. You can visit me on my website at mariariffo.com or on my Facebook page at facebook.com/mariariffo. Or you can always feel free to email me at maria@thegreensmoothiechallenge.com. And I wish you a great rest of your day. Thank you for being here.